The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation and production. Visit our website at cspn.us for more episodes of the Gridiron Gals. And while you're there, click on the Keep Our Podcast Free link and shop at our sponsors, such as Blue Apron, gourmet meals and fresh ingredients delivered right to your door to keep our podcast free for you.
Hey everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Gridiron Gals podcast. I have a special guest with me today. Well, first of all, this is Chelsea, aka Chelsea's Right on Twitter. My co-host is enjoying herself at Coachella right now, so shout out to Rita, aka the NFL chick. I definitely miss her doing this with me, but I do have a special guest today, and we are here to talk about Dez Bryant. So this podcast is the Dez Bryant podcast. It is Dezgate. So let me introduce my co-host, because I'm all over the place because I really want to get this started. But I have joining with me today former Dallas Cowboys running back Philip Tanner, former running back, current high school football coach, current black revolutionary Philip Tanner.
Yes, yes indeed. Yes indeed. You can reach me at PTanner34 on Twitter.
At PTanner34 on Twitter, and we will say that again at the end of the podcast just so people won't forget, okay? So basically, this is why we're here. Dez Bryant was released from the Cowboys on Friday the 13th after 8 seasons. It was a shock to fans and teammates, and everyone pretty much believed that Dez would be a Cowboy for life, and that's what he believed as well. But apparently, it wasn't all good at the Star, and according to a lot of rumors, which is some things that we plan to clear up today, it seems like it hasn't been all good at the Star for a very long time. So from what we hear, you know, the Star has its own version of the Good Old Boys Network. And if you aren't familiar with what the term the Good Old Boys Network is, it typically refers to a bunch of white guys who like to keep it in the family. But we can apply it to some different situations with the Cowboys. Basically, if you are in network, you are in network. But if you are out of that Good Old Boys Network, your fate, you never know what's going to happen. So and now what we're learning is there's something called a Garrett guy. So I guess the Garrett guys would be the people that are in network, right? And so if you're not a Garrett guy, then your life as a Cowboy is not guaranteed. So here's what we know so far about Dez Bryant. And let me just say right now, I've been battling as the leader of the Dez Hive. I have been battling for like 48 hours, cussing out everybody. But these are the facts. Dez, in 2016, 50 receptions, 8 touchdowns for 795 yards. In 2017, 69 receptions and 6 touchdowns for 838 yards. The game plan in Dallas doesn't seem to get Dez as heavily involved as it did when Tony Romo was there. The Cowboys did not offer Dez an opportunity to restructure or to take a pay cut. They could have released him a long time ago, and he would have been able to sign with another team, but they didn't. They waited to the bewitching hour to release him, which is something that you don't do for a player that you hold in such high regard, so you say. As far as social media goes, the offense is quiet. One person, Cole Beasley, finally tweeted that he had been talking to Dez directly and did not owe Cowboys Nation a thing. A thing meaning he didn't owe it to us to say, hey, you know, I feel bad about this. However, he said that he did not want to say the wrong thing and be next.
Please.
Right. Then the defense. Now, you know, PC, you know, I love my rookies. I love my rookie defensive players, and they don't give a fuck.
Right, right, right.
They don't give a fuck. So they tweeted immediately they were disgusted about what happened. And then recently, Dak Prescott goes on the record on video to say that Dez is like a brother to him. He was not aware prior to the release and that he does not have the pay grade to be involved in the decision-making process. So basically what Dak said is that somebody ran, he was out there playing catch or some shit, and somebody ran up to him and was like, yo, they just released Dez. So he had no clue.
Right.
And you know, if that is true, why would you, your starting quarterback has no clue that your wide receiver is getting cut?
It's hard to believe that.
And it's very hard to believe that. All right, so let's get to some things that we may not know, and that is why we have you here with us today. So let's just get right into it, okay?
Yes, indeed.
All right, so my first question to you is, you know, we keep hearing the term Garrett guy thrown PT, what is a Garrett guy?
First, let's speak on the guy, okay? Every team has his guys. So let's not just stone the whole Garrett guy. It's not bad being a Garrett guy. I'm sure in New England you have your Belichick guys. At the University of Alabama, you have your Saban guys. You know, it's more of a your culture. Whatever head coach comes in, he wanna, you know, instill his culture. And his culture goes with who he is as a person. So as a Garrett guy, that's that guy that's there early, before everybody, leaves after everybody, puts in the extra work, stays out of the media, stays out of the media, you know, and just comes in and plays ball according to what Coach Garrett deems first class. So, of course, it's a guideline of what Coach Garrett deems right, whether it's right, wrong, and different. In Coach Garrett's eyes, what first class is. So the guys that falls in under that category is a Garrett guy. And I wanted to jump on Twitter by way of his podcast. I was a Garrett guy. I'm still a Garrett guy, you know. And as far as Garrett, it's levels to the Garrett guy, you know. And it's about – and when Dez threw the Garrett guy out there, a lot of folks saying, oh, it's bad Garrett guys. No, it's good Garrett guys. Byron Jones, who showed respect to Dez, is a Garrett guy. You know, it's just how those guys use that, you know, and it's top tier Garrett guys and it's bottom tier Garrett guys, you know. So Garrett guys get cut. So I hope they don't think that just because you're a Garrett guy, you won't get cut. Miles Austin was a Garrett guy, one of the biggest Garrett guys, you know. So we can't just throw some shade and say, oh, because you're a Garrett guy, you're bad. Now, okay. Dez does have merit on what he's saying about how he feel that Garrett guys went against him. You know, and when he say against him, he's more saying that he didn't fit the Garrett guy mold. That is why he's no longer in the locker room.
Gotcha. Well, that's nice clarification because, you know, I was ready to, you know, I was ready to be anti-Garrett guy. So, so that's a good explanation. And I hope that clears a lot of things up. So my next question is, well, I guess you kind of answered it, but I'm going to let you explain this in the way that you want.
Okay.
Was Dez Bryant a Garrett guy? Was he ever a Garrett guy? And, you know, yes or no for that. And what about Tony Romo?
Ooh, great question. Ooh. coming in, Dez Bryant was not a Garrett guy at all, you know. And I also tweeted on Twitter that same office that I'm sure the same personnel that was sitting in that office for the most part that's told Dez he no longer have a job was probably that same office, probably 98% on draft day back in 2010, that was fighting back and forth. Should we get this guy? Should we move up to get this guy? Should we not move this guy? Well, he didn't play a senior year. Why didn't he play a senior at Oklahoma State? Was he a Garrett guy? So you're a Garrett guy before you even drafted, you know, according to the standards. So everybody said, oh, well, Garrett wasn't the head coach then. However, Coach Garrett was offensive coordinator then. He had a lot of say-so in the organization. He's one of the hottest offensive coordinators going around. You know, from my understanding, San Francisco wanted him, Baltimore wanted him as head coach, but he stayed loyal to Jerry, you know. So he said, no, I won't go take any of these jobs. I'll stay here in Dallas and wait till it's my turn to move up to be head coach. So it was all a process for Jason Garrett to be the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. So as far as Dez Bryant, he was never a Garrett guy. You know, he naturally, that's just not Dez. Dez is loud, he's passionate, and he does what he do, and that doesn't fit the mold of a Garrett guy. You know, so Dez was never a Garrett guy, although Dez was matured. He matured so much, and I was able to be a part of that through the 11, 12, 13, 14 year season. And that's when Dez matured, you know, all the way from when he came in at 2010 to now, he was maturing more and more every year. So he was never a Garrett guy. I don't think he ever could have been a Garrett guy. Now, number nine.
Number nine. And look, I'm going to tell you right now, you be easy. You be easy because I wear two hats, a Queen of the Dez hat and a Tony Romo hat. So you be easy, but go ahead.
Contrary to everyone's belief, number nine was not a Garrett guy.
Oh my God.
Was not a Garrett guy.
Oh, you know, man.
Although everyone wants to say nine was not a Garrett guy. And it's been times where that has blown up and we've seen clearly that this guy is not a Garrett guy. It's not give a Garrett guy.
Can you give me some? this is so hilarious to me because people are going to fall out when they hear that because, you know, you just think of Garrett and Romo together. But give me some things that maybe as a fan we didn't notice, but we should have noticed that would have let us know that Romo was not a Garrett guy.
Oh, just communication, you know, sideline communication, body language, media. Post-game interviews, you know, whether it's post-game interviews from Coach Garrett, post-game interview from Romo, you know, and what guys got to realize, and you got to look between the lines, there's three different parts to an organization. You have your front office, you have your players, you have your coaches. Mm-hmm. All right. Those are three different entities. So you got to listen to what all of them are saying. And you can just look at Rose post-game interviews or him and Coach Garrett's just body language throughout the entire time they was there. And you could see that Rose was not a Garrett guy. You know, from times at practice, you would see it. You know, meetings, you would see it. You know, they didn't have a bad relationship. So I don't want people to say, oh, PT saying that Coach Garrett and Romo didn't get along. I'm not saying that. However, what I'm saying is Romo wasn't a Garrett guy. You know, so with Roe, like I say, the post-game interviews, that's what I would put more time into, you know, as far as how they both felt indifferently or about certain situations of the game. You know, as far as personnel, anything like that, you can go and see that Romo wasn't a Garrett guy.
Would this have anything to do also with how often Romo changed the plays?
A lot. You know, it has a lot to do with that, you know. The confidence level, the trust factors between those two. Mm-hmm. You know, you could look at Romo numbers in 2-minute drills. Right. You know, in 2-minute drills, Romo takes charge. You know, and again, I said that Garrett guy is a guy that's first guy in, last guy out. That's a Garrett guy. A Garrett guy is going to be on the practice field 20 minutes early. You're going to leave off the practice field 20 minutes after everyone. You know, that's a Garrett guy. A Garrett guy is going to put that time in the summer, no matter what level he is. You know, whether he's a Hall of Famer, whether he's an all-pro, a pro bowler, he's going to come in the summertime and he's working out with the walk-ons or the free agents, the priority, mm-hmm. the rookie free agents, you know. And that's one thing I can say about 82. 82 right. is a Garrett guy. 82, may be the president of Garrett guys beside number 50. You know, and those guys are well deserving of it. And I've seen the work that they put in to earn that Garrett guy badge. You know, right. from they're not playing golf in off season. They're not swinging golf clubs in off season. They're in the weight room with your bubble guys, with your Philip Tanner's and your Lance Dunbar's and the guys that's just scraping the wall, holding on for dear life just to make the team. You know, they're right beside those guys working out. So, again, that just goes to show, again, there it's not a negative to that Garrett guy, although it is a guideline. And
so you let's go right into Jason Witten, because right. that's the name that's been floating around. And you have established that he probably is the president of the Garrett Guys Club.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Jason Witten is one of the most revered Cowboy veterans. He's after Dez, he definitely is one of my favorite players. How powerful is number 82?
Man, I think he's the most powerful guy to walk in the locker room, even over number nine. You know, and I say that because 82 came from the Parcells era. You know, he was there with Parcell and the work that 82 put in. I've seen 82 run down on kickoffs. I've seen 82 play special teams. I've seen 82 from the time he got in. I was in high school, and I seen what he still did in the community to now what he is. He's still doing the same thing in the community. So 82 is a great guy, and he deserves to be the president of the Gary guy. And I think whatever team 82 was on, he would be the president of that guy. You know, so if a Dallas Cowboy come in, it's go follow number 82. Go do what number 82 does. And he earns it because of the things that he did. Man plays with a broken jaw. Gary guy, right. relentless. You always see Coach Gary say that one word, relentless, relentless, relentless. Jason Witten is relentless. You know, 82 played with a broken jaw. 82 ruptured his spleen, still played. You know, the things that he went through during camp. The big time, the vets, every third day or fourth day, they have the option to take a day off. 82 was one of those only guys that never took his day off. So 82 earned that. You know, every day 82 runs to the field, he runs off the field. You know, so 82 earned that Gary guy. And a lot of people told me, oh, 82 is not a GM. I said, that's a lie. It's LeBron. So my question on Twitter was, is LeBron James a GM?
Absolutely. Was Peyton Manning the GM?
LeBron James. I tell him, is LeBron James the GM?
Absolutely.
So exactly. So Jason Witten, he has that, and he deserves it. He earned that. He earned that privilege to say, okay, well, whether they listen to him or not, or go off what he said, his opinion carries a lot of weight in that organization.
So that's a great segue into my next question. Do players really have a say in who stays and who goes when the time comes?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. And I've seen it with 17, the old 17. I've seen it with 17, you know, and that was one of the first times I've seen it happen is with 17. And from seeing him when he would go in and out the huddle and how Nine would look at him or how Nine would feel about him and how his production would go up and down based on how a certain player felt about a certain player.
Now let's clarify who the old number 17 is for people who may not know.
Dwayne Harris.
Okay.
Dwayne Harris. You know, so I seen how he was perceived and when it was time come for him, how his role ended, you know, so players have, especially those big time, and I only speak from the offensive side of the ball because that's where I spent my time. If number nine feel you fit the mold, then you're there. If not, then it's going to be hard for you to stay and be productive.
Right.
And be productive. And we all know without production, you don't play. So that key word there, being able to produce and produce and show what you can do keeps you on the team. So if you can't do that, then that's that leeway of saying we don't need this guy here. Whether that guy just messed up on his own or he just never got the opportunity to even show what he can or can't do.
Wow. All right. Dwayne Harris, we saw it, man. We seen it happen with you. And then the next number 17 that you were talking about that people may not know was Lucky.
Lucky.
Right.
Lucky,
you know, and people have their own opinion of Lucky. I do too. I think that he was released for the wrong reason. I think that they wanted to release him anyway. You should have released him anyway. Don't wait until this little case comes up. And, you know, even though Lucky is messy, like Lucky really needed to grow up. But
yeah,
I felt like if they wanted to work with him a little bit, they probably could have. But, you know, he just was a young knucklehead.
I mean, he could have. And what I tell young guys going in now, especially, you know, at any level, you know, whether you was the first pick of the draft or you was a rookie free agent, man, character buys you lifelines, you know. So being a Garrett guy, it buys you lifelines. You know, if you're just not that stellar athlete, but you're going in working hard every day, you know, you're a smart guy, you're a first class guy, it buys you lifelines, you know, especially once you get in that room. You say, man, I can depend on this guy. I can trust this guy. You know, so that Gary got tagged buys you that. It buys you that trust factor of going in there. And as far, but it doesn't make you invincible. Again, I only think it's only one guy that's invincible there, and that's 82.
I mean, we've seen people stick around longer than we felt like they should have. I mean, Felix Jones.
Felix Jones was there.
I was like, Felix Jones must have, he must got intel. I can't believe he's still there, you know, but, you know, he might have been a Garrett guy, and then he might have had, what do you call it? He had the ties with Arkansas. And,
yeah.
It was an emotional thing. So let me ask you this. This is probably the toughest question. And if it's something that you don't feel comfortable saying, I'm totally cool with that. Mm-hmm. Do you think that there was a plan to get rid of Dez Bryant, regardless of the salary cap, his performance, or the team wanting to go in a different direction?
Yeah, I want to say all of the above, you know, with them, because they wanted to go in a different direction, but they had to have a plan, okay? So just put it like this. I don't think, and this is just my opinion, you know, I don't think Jason Garrett ever wanted to draft Dez Bryant. All right. I said it, and I quote at P Town of 34. I don't believe Jason Garrett ever was a fan of Dez Bryant.
That's a big statement.
And I have my reasons to feel that way. And I have facts to back that up, that I don't think JG was a huge fan of the ex, you know, and, and I think that over the years it got better, it got worse, and it was always a, it could have been a I told you so moment every time Dez's name would come up in a negative way. You know, you could picture a I told you so moment, you know, but the kid grew up, you know, and I was able to see that from September 19th when the first time he ever threw up an extra, the punt return against Chicago, the 62-yard punt return against Chicago,
yeah.
You know, and everybody like, oh, this is the guy, you know, then he breaks his foot, but then he had another 88 touchdown punt return against the Giants on Monday Night Football, and everybody just ramping and raving about this guy, you know. So although he still had all that production, I still think some of the off-the-field incident was just really rubbed JG the wrong way, and it just really worked himself out of that Garrett guy box, from the jewelry incidents, the North Park incidents, the mother incident, you know, all those different incidents that kind of, you know, he was like the stepchild, you know, and that's how I feel he was the stepchild. And if just put it in this terms, where we'll say Coach Garrett is the mother, Jerry Jones is the father, you know, so Jerry Jones brings in his stepson, which is Dez, you know, so Garrett is not too fond of this illegitimate, this child that's in the house, you know, that's not his. You know, and they'll go out to the parks and stuff, and Garrett will be a great mother to him. However, behind closed doors, he's still being treated and looked at like a stepchild.
Well, you know, and one of my issues that I have with sports in general, with whether it's on the college level or the NFL level, especially when we deal with when the majority of the athletes are Black, the recruiting happens in poor, disenfranchised neighborhoods and areas. That you get these kids that have all of these issues, and then you give them millions of dollars as if those are going to make all of their life issues go away. These kids are trapped in a cycle of poverty and systematic racism and all of these things happening to them. You know, Dez's mom is 14 years older than him.
Right.
You know, and so like you get these kids that are like this. You give them all this money, you do all of this, and then you expect all of those things to go away. You don't want them hanging around with the people that they grew up with, and you don't want them hanging with. They got you know, Black people got a lot of cousins.
Right.
I mean, you know, I remember somebody on Twitter said, do white people have cousins? Because our cousins are our cousins are our siblings.
Correct.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
So it ain't just first and second. You know, I got about 80 second cousins, you know. So like those are my, you know, my cousins are my siblings. If I go pro, guess where they coming? To the stands. To the stands. And so, you know, they want them to drop all of these people. And then there's a guilt factor. Like you come and you dirt poor and now you rich and you want these guys to leave behind all that they've ever known.
Right.
For something that is the unknown.
And not only that, just dealing with Dez, you know, he's a East Texas guy, you know, so anybody know anything about East Texas, they know it was a country boy coming to the big city, you know, and Dez is, and I say this, and I don't even throw these words lightly, he's the ultimate competitor, you know, but he and that's probably from a child. It's always been Dez against the world. He had to fight for everything he ever had. So you just can't go away with that. You know, he channeled that into football. and his passion is the football. He's the ultimate. You walk in that locker room. If we're shooting paper balls into the trash can, Dez got to be the best at that. He's going to be the fastest. He's going to be the strongest in his mind. if it's a who can eat their lunch the fastest, Dez want to be a part of that because he's the ultimate competitor. You know, so I would see interviews or snippets about it saying Dez is a distraction or he's not a locker room guy. When I say 88's a locker room guy, my goodness. Like, when Dez signed the Jordan deal, every receiver in the Dallas Cowboy locker room and coach signed the Jordan deal. It's old coaches that I never even saw a pair of Jordans. Dez is getting those guys' shoes. Wow. Everybody. You know, when Dez eat, everybody eats. You know, so that's the biggest misconception of people thinking that Dez was a distraction or people didn't know. When Dez spoke, people listened. People, you know, listen. And he had passion. And we knew how to deal with Dez. When Dez go off in his tantrum, don't talk to Dez. You know, that me and DeMarco Murray would laugh about it all the time. Whenever he snap, walk away from him. Because if you beside him, he's going to talk to you. And it's just going to be fueled on the fire. Let Dez sit down and be passionate about Dez. You know, right. Dez gets frustrated. I still remember, I think it was 2012, we played the Detroit Lions in Detroit. And that was one of the first time they saw the Dez temper tantrum. And it was just passion because Dez said, we shouldn't lose this game. Let's do this. But they look away from Dez and we lose the game and Dez is upset because we lost. So there's nothing because we lost the game. Dez is just passionate about what he does, you know. And I hate that he gets the criticism of doing the same. But when Tom Brady does it,
listen,
he's passionate. He's a leader. He's this. He wants the game. But when Dez does it, now he's a cancer or he's a problem. He's a distraction. You know,
or when Odell Beckham does it, same thing.
Exactly.
Same thing. So funny what you say about Dez in the locker room. I was following some tweets today, and I think Will Blackman and a couple of other people, JP Finley, were tweeting about Dez and about Dez potentially coming to the Redskins, which I hope does not happen. I really hope this. I would love to have Dez in DC, but good God. So one of the Redskins players, one of the Redskins fans, who, you know, that's a questionable fan base anyway. Tweeted something to the effect of Dez not being, we don't want that type of guy in the locker room. And Alfred Morris, who, if you don't know, you should know. Mm-hmm. I love Fredo Sauce, you know.
Yeah.
Fredo Sauce came from, he came from Washington, which, this is not up for debate. RG3's rookie year is because of Alfred Morris. It's not up for debate. But anyway, he came to the Cowboys. He did really good for us. But he said, honestly, if you ain't never been in the locker room with Dez Bryant, then don't speak on it.
Secondhand
information ain't always accurate. And despite what you think you may know, Dez is great in the locker room, just so you know.
Right. Not in a locker room, in a community, on a practice field. You know, I used to call my guys all the time when I first got there. I said, man, if y'all are excited about what y'all see on Sundays from this man, imagine what y'all see at practice. The kid's not human. He's not human. You know, and people call Dez selfish for asking for the ball. That's not true. I feel it would be selfish if he didn't put in the work. Dez put in the work times two to have that right to go out there and say, throw me the ball.
Right.
All day at the facility, Dez is throwing the ball up, catching the ball. He got a football in his hand, walking around with no shoes on in the facility, just country boy. All Dez wants to do is play fucking football. You know, and at practice he's out there all day and he's having fun, he's playing football, and he's passionate about it. I still remember one time we go 2-minute drill and he's betting the DBs, man, $500 I'm gonna catch a ball, you know, and he just brings out that competitive edge in everybody. Because if you're not competitive, Dad's gonna go at your throat. I'm letting you know that right now. He's gonna go at your throat and he's gonna let you know he's going at your throat. Some of the best battles between him and Claiborne. You know, him and Claiborne, him and Scandrick, him and Brandon Carr. You know, it's just that competitive edge and that dog in him that I love about it. And it's not just talk. Whether we're running sprints, we're in a weight room, he's trying to outlift the D lineman. You know, he's trying to outrun the corners. Like, he's just passionate about it. He's that ultimate competitor. So he deserves to a certain degree to say, give me the football. What good receiver don't want the football?
Yeah. What did he tell them in that video? You can't cover me. You can't cover me. And you can't cover me.
Man, I was watching his punt return against the Giants, you know, his rookie year, and just listened to John Gruden's comments of the kid. He was like, he's Mr. Natural. He's just better than everybody else on the field. That was John Gruden's quote. And this kid was a rookie, and he was like, he's just better than everybody else on the field.
Wow. Wow. I mean, none of it is a surprise to me, but it's just so it just counters what some of the people have been saying. And I guess most of the people that are saying things about him, they really just don't know. They really just don't know. So my final question, and then I want to go into like clearing up a few of the rumors that we're hearing. Okay. let's talk about your boy, Jerry Jones. Do you feel that Jerry Jones is an emotional owner? Like, we know he has his favorites, but do you feel that he makes decisions on players and things that he does based on emotions?
Yes, I do. Yes, I do. And I can't say it's a good thing, bad thing. You know, it's very subjective if you want to say it's good or bad. And I say that because I've been in, four different organizations. You know, I've been with the Colts for a short stint. I was in Buffalo and I was in San Francisco as well. And I saw the owners come out, and you know they're owners, all right? One thing about Jerry Jones is he's a player's owner. You hear player's coach all the time. You hear that word, the phrase owner all the time, player's coach, player's coach. Jerry is a player's owner, you know, and I found this out my second year. You know, I come in as an undrafted free agent, play well my rookie year, went on higher than the season, come back my second year, and I'm standing at Valley Ranch on the field, and I hear Phillip. And I'm like, clearly no one's calling me Phillip, because it's usually PT. And I turn around, and it's Jerry Jones. I'm like, this man knows my name, you know, and it's wow. Phillip. Yeah. You know, and he was like, how's the hamstring? You know, this is when I'm coming back off injury reserve. And he asked me about my injury. How's the hamstring? How are you feeling? That man, he didn't have to ask me anything. You know, I'm just trying to keep my head above water. You know? So for him to come and do that showed me that it's not about where you was drafted. He just wants the best for his team. Now, as far as guys where he get emotional tied to, I think I can call out names. Your DeMarcus Ware's, your Anthony Spencer. Anthony Spencer was another guy that I feel Jerry was emotionally tied to. And people say, oh, they should have let him go. But no, Jerry wants this guy to stay. Your Miles Austin, you know, your Dez Bryant, you know. And when I was reading Dez's interview, you could just feel how heartfelt he was about how he felt about Mr. Jones. You know, you would see in a locker room, hear people call Jerry Jones. Oh, there's Jerry Jones. With Dez, it's Mr. Jones. There's Mr. Jones. So it was that relationship that they have built, that respect that they have built over time. From day one that the man got drafted, he had the utmost respect for Jerry. Because, again, it's like he brought me in when he didn't have to. He knew my weaknesses. He knew what I lacked, but he still brought me in. He put his arm around me. You know, so that's why I feel that Dez was kind of hoodwinked when he went into that interview. I think Dez went in saying that, cool, I'm gonna be a Cowboy for life, because I'm sure Jerry done said it, Steven done said it. So that's the only thing that I'm kind of mixed up about, is that Jerry was there. Jerry always been there for Dez. He loved Dez. He's emotionally tied to Dez. So that's why I say you get those emotional ties from a Jerry Jones with his players. You know, I haven't seen it from any other organization, you know, but firsthand, I've seen the owner of the Dallas Cowboys being emotionally tied. And Jerry had come out and said in a couple of interviews, he was like, this is my baby.
Yeah. You know, I mean, in a lot of ways, I mean, he saved Dez from himself a lot of times.
Yeah.
You know, a lot of times. You know, he did what he had to do. But I mean, and another part of it is, yes, I do believe that he has personal connections to him and, you know, and everything, but, you know, he had to protect his investment at all costs. He saw the potential. And that's the thing about Jerry Jones compared to a lot of other owners. And let's just compare him to Dan Snyder, who is an idiot for the most part. Jerry's a football guy. Jerry's a football guy. Like, this is somebody that knows the game and knows talent. And so I was very surprised, and I almost feel like they probably had to sedate Jerry the night after this happened, because it had to be really, really, you know, heartbreaking for him. But let's talk about the other Jones for a second. Let's talk about Steven. let's talk about the son for a second. So is it perception or is it reality that Steven Jones is really running the show over there?
I mean, one thing Coach Garrett taught me, or the NFL taught me, that perception is reality.
Oh boy.
You know, that the league taught me that perception is reality. I think he is. You know, it goes back to all those Suns owners. You know, what if we go with the Titans, you know, you come in and you see your father doing all these things the way he wants it done. You know, and some people say, oh, yeah, his son's going to do exactly what he does. But I feel to a certain degree it gets to a point where they look and say, oh, dad did this wrong, so I'm definitely going to do this different. You know, and I think Steven is he's trying to show that it's his show now. You know, in order for him to show as his show, he has to do things opposite of his dad. Because if he don't, it's going to be, oh, he's just doing exactly what his dad did. You know, so therefore you get confused as to who's running the show. So to show you who's running the show, I'm going to go against the grain of what y'all would expect my dad to do. You know, right. everybody with Jerry, players want to come to Dallas all the time. Let me tell you what. Let me tell you the biggest thing why players want to come to Dallas. Oh, they're going to write you that check. Jerry's going to write you that check. Jerry's going to write you that check. So then you see Dez come out for his big payday, and it's all this confusion. So you're like, damn, it was no confusion with Miles when it was his payday. He paid him off rip, pay the man. You know, then you get Roy Williams come in and give him a big check. So they're like, oh, we know Dez, Romo, huge check. Oh, we know Dez going to break the bank. But it was just the timing of it. Now Dez come in and Steven is getting more of, and it's like, nah, we not issuing out that paper like that no more. You know, so that's one of the biggest things that I see differently is that those big paydays for those guys, you know, and even with Tyrone Crawford, everybody, why did he get all that money? You know, so players around the league are saying, I want to go to Dallas because Jerry Jones is going to write that check. And not only that, he's emotionally tied. When I said about these guys, not as a ball player, just in their life. And I say personally, because I bring up Josh Brent, you know, the tragedy that we went through that year, you know, and to see that man on the coaching staff with the Dallas Cowboys shows you that Jerry Jones cares more about his players than scoring touchdowns or making sacks, because he's still in that kid's life saying, here, come be a part of us. Be a part of us, you know. So that excites me about Jerry Jones, knowing that he care for him more than ball players. Right. And it's emotional with him. You know, I feel he has an emotional tie to JG. To Garrett.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Oh, Jason Garrett would have been gone long ago on anybody else's game. He absolutely does. But what you just, I mean, the picture you painted of Jerry Jones seems like it's the total opposite of Steven. Like, for Steven, this is business. This is all business. Like, you cool while you're here, but when it comes down to business, Steven Jones is not afraid to make those tough business decisions, regardless of personal relationships. And it also seems, and you can tell me if I'm right or wrong, that he doesn't even form those personal bonds because he knows that at the end of the day, I might have to cut you.
Right. And like I say, and it's not right or wrong, you know, and that's what I want to get out of people's mindset of saying right or wrong. You know, Jerry does things his way. Steven does things his way. Garrett does things his way with Garrett guys. You know, I just feel that it should be more transparent, you know, of what's going on. You know, this is how this guy gets down. You know, this is what he does. Things are going to happen. You know, it's business at the end of the day. And that's what. But the thing, if it's business at the end of the day, make it about business. Don't form that personal relationship with me if it's just business. And I think that's where Dez got caught up in the mix, because he had that personal relationship, but it's business. It's a bottom line business. And I think that's where all the, I was saying on Twitter, the skullduggery, the trickery. That's where the trickery came in yet, because Dez was he was blinded. He was blinded by that personal relationship of I'm gonna always be a Cowboy, and that's not promising anybody. And I seen that with DeMarcus Ware when they let D Ware go. Mm-hmm. You know, and I seen that, and people can talk about lack of production from Dez. I don't think that had little to anything to do with it. Yeah. I don't, because one thing about that, those guys, they see it. So far as production, we could have pinpointed that on anything. It's multiple reasons that we can say Dez lacked the production that he lacked. Can we blame it on the training staff or the weight room staff and say he wasn't healthy? Okay, can we say it was the coaching? Can we say it was where he was on the field? Can we say just Dez had two shitty years? But when we say shitty years, we compare them to outstanding years. You know,
outstanding
so
years, yeah,
you know, so like I said, it's So we bring in a new receiver coach. So was Dooley the reason? You know, so it's a lot of because when he was first there, it was with Coach Robinson. So you bring Dooley in. So was Dooley the reason for the drop off? Is Dak the reason for the drop off? Is right. So those are the things that I don't want to get into the pinpoint of why Dez was the production, you know. Right. But again, I think even if Dez had a stellar year, you know, if they didn't want Dez in that locker room, he wouldn't have been in the locker room. And it's about numbers. Because you look at DeMarco Murray, that came off a great year.
Yeah.
and they dropped the ball with giving the job to the underwear bandit. You know, you give the job to the underwear bandit.
Oh my God, I forgot all about him.
Yeah, you give
He was a nightmare. Oh, my God.
You give the job to Joseph Randall, you know? So that goes to show that it's not about production.
I forgot all about that clown, and he went on to do some other horrible things. But now I'm just going to go. Just stay away. Go away, stay away. So,
but again, you know. And along with – and I'm just laughing at Randall, along with Randall, man. And he came out and he made a comment about Jason Witten. And I'm like, that's one guy you don't really speak on.
Yeah, you don't talk about him.
No. You know, but Dallas Cowboys, baby.
Dallas Cowboys. I know other teams have drama like this. I know we are not the only ones, but it's just, you know, the microscope is all, we are always under the microscope. People enjoy Cowboys drama. I mean, and we've been under the microscope for the last couple of years with Zeke and the Dak Romo situation, and now Dez. And you know that they're going to talk about Dez all year long.
Oh yeah, it's America's team, man. When I was in Buffalo, man. When I was in San Francisco, one thing I can say about those organizations is it's just football. In Buffalo, it's just football. Where far as you come into a locker room after the Cowboys game, you're going to see 100-plus media people, you know. You go into Buffalo, you probably see 10 to 15. You know, it's America's team. People can try to deny that and go against that, but that's not going to change. That's what Jerry Jones have created. That's what Jerry Jones stand for, and that's that star. And I tweeted also that Dez was just staying true to the star. Not to a coach, not to a player, not to anything. Growing up in Dallas, seeing that star, you don't know who the coaching staff is as a kid. All you see is that star. You walk into Walmart, Toys R Us, you see a helmet with a star. You grab that helmet because it has a star on it. So Dez got caught in just who he was as a person, staying true to the star.
True to the star. Well, I think this is a good way to wrap this up with you saying that they stay true to the star. And let me tell you something, the star, and if the star includes the fans, they are going to stay true to Dez no matter where he goes. The outpouring of support for him, and even he mentioned the outpouring of support, was just, I mean, it had to make him feel good. I know they say there are Cowboys fans that are like, well, you know, he needed to go. Well, that's fine. You know, and I think they're just talking, just trying to make themselves feel better in the moment. But when you think about the Dallas Cowboys and you think about that passion and that fire, Dez Bryant is who you think about.
Right,
you know,
right.
Dez Bryant is who you think about.
And as far as fans, you know, I tell people all the time, and I learned this in school, it's about an investment. So people say, "Oh, fans are invested emotionally." It's a thing called emotional investment. So if you see your investment declining or losing money, first thing you're gonna say is, "Should I pull it?" You know. So you have those thoughts in your head, and you get emotional type. Should I pull it? Dez come out and have another big year. He's back. Dez, that's our guy. The same people that saying he needs to go, he had a bad year. He goes somewhere else, have a good year, and say, "Why did we let him go?"
Absolutely.
And we see that when players leave and have big years, why did we let him go? You know, we let Dwayne Harris go the following year. following year, Cole Beasley fumbles the punt that Dwayne Harris should have been catching. And then Dwayne Harris takes a punt return back against Dallas to beat us. So, and you get people saying, why did we let him go? You know, why did we let him go? So you, as fans, you get emotionally tied into these players. And that's your investment. So I have no knock against the fan base. You know, I see him for what it was. And I respect the Dallas Cowboys fan base. It's one of the craziest, one of the up, and it's this true roller coaster, you know. It's up and down because look how fast we have turned on. When I say we, I've seen Cowboy Nation, that they have turned on Dak. First it was Dak, get rid of Romo. Now is What is Dak doing? Dak can't advance the ball, you know. Dennis Scott.
Well, you and I talked about this though. We talked about what the difference between Dak's first season and Dak's second season, and what you told me, I have never forgot that is Dak had Tony Romo in his ear that first year.
Yeah, yeah. So Dak's sophomore year, you know, I think this year coming up is going to be a make or break year for Dak. I believe that. And a lot of people compare him to Roe. However, Roe was able to sit. People forget that. Roe was able to sit and learn when he first got there. Dak didn't have that time. Dak was fed to the wolves. From day one, Dak was fed to the wolves. You know, so he's going to have growing pains that Aroma would have. Aroma was able to sit and mature and see the game day in, day out before he had to get out there and throw the football. You know, Dak didn't have that. I have faith in Dak that if put in the right situation, that Dak will go out and do what he needs to do and produce for the Dallas Cowboys. But we have to get out of mindset of comparing Dak and Romo. Dak's not Romo. Romo's not Dak.
And that please, there's no debate there.
Yeah.
There's no debate there. There is no debate there. And we don't know. He may be – we don't know what Dak is going to do. I mean, we got about a 10-12-year age difference as well. You know, because when Romo was Dak's age, Romo was sitting down somewhere. So, you know, I have I got a bonus question. I have to ask this one. And I know we wanted to wrap up with Dez being true to the star, but I have to ask this one because the more the more tedious fans, the fans that actually are watching film and noticing the little things, are all kind of saying the same thing. And they feel that Dez was schemed out of the game plan, and that, you know, there were many times when he was not Dak's first read, and it just seems like they were etching him out of the game plan. You think that's something that they would do?
Possibly. I don't think they take Dez out of the game like that for the sole fact that who was going to be in the game? You know, who was going to be in the game?
Hey, Terrence Williams, you know? Cover your ears up, folks.
So I don't think coaching staffs go into games saying that we want to lose this game. Let's not throw the ball to Dez. You know, I've seen that in situations where you bring a rookie in and you want to hide him on your practice squad. So you may not let him just ball out too much during preseason. Right, let's take him away. But I don't see what you get from it wasn't a contract year. So I don't see what you would have got out of scheming out of. What I do see is just they didn't have that continuity. They didn't have that chemistry, you know, for whatever reason. You know, I'm not in the locker room. I don't know what Dak first read was. And fans can watch as much film as they want. But unless they're at the star sitting down in individual meetings knowing what Dak reads was, it's hard for anyone to even another player, another quarterback from another team, it's hard for him to jump in there and say, well, Dez should have been the first read, or Dak eyes wasn't there, you know, and unless you're there and you know where his eyes should have been. You know, so you can't say that Dez was schemed out of the game, because Dez was still there and just right. Dez dropped balls that he should have caught.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the thing I like about Dez, he owned up to that. He said, I guess he changed his training coach, his receiver training, his offseason regimen. Dez know that a collaborative effort is the reason why he had a bad year. And that's the chip on his shoulder that he want to show folks that he's going to – whatever Dez did in the offseason last year throughout the season, he knew that shit wasn't right. And it showed during the season. You know, so Dez going to come out, and I think he's going to have a monster year. Whomever he plays for is going to get a hell of a receiver with a chip on his shoulder. The only thing that I want Dez Bryant to focus on is just whenever he do play against the Cowboys, just go ball out, you know, and he will.
I will be like a proud mama. I don't care. I hope he scored 10 touchdowns. Yeah. I'm willing to take that L just to see him ball out.
And I think that's where I got it from with Dwayne Harris. You know, me and Dwayne Harris were roommates for 3 years, so he was my guy. Okay. So whenever we played the Giants, it was like, go off, Wayne. Go off. You know, so seeing Dwayne take a punt return back against the Cowboys, you know, that was one of the highlights of my season that year.
Oh, man. And I knew it was coming. I could see it. I said, this is coming back. This is coming all the way forward. This is coming all the way. Because that's just how it works. That's just how it works.
You know.
So, well, look, I am so glad that you and I did this, got on this podcast, and we were able to get our questions and everything together. You know, we always enjoy coming on. Rita's sad that she's missing it, but, you know, she gives you a shout out. And hopefully Cowboys Nation will feel a little bit better about this. I think I feel a little bit more relieved. I mean, the bottom line is things like this happen all the time. We just don't like it to happen to our own. You know, I wasn't happy about DeMarcus Ware. I wasn't happy about Romo, but I was happy to see him go into the booth because the booth is his ultimate destiny to me.
Right,
so,
right.
You know, I'm happy about that. I would have been sick seeing him go to another team. And the same, but with Dez, it's different. Like, I'm sad, but I really want Dez to, like, show completely out somewhere. You know, Dez, if you just so happen to listen and click on this, you know, I got you. Wherever you go, I'll break my rule and get a Dez Bryant jersey for another team. I'll break my rule.
Yeah, we got caught up emotionally with the Dez, man. We got caught up with Allen coming in saying I'm not wearing 88. So, oh yeah, Dez stand. You know, then you come out the Cowboy flag, Dez stand, and then at the end, Dez is not staying, you know?
And we were ready. I mean, people are – I was in complete – you know, me and you were talking. I was in complete meltdown mode. I was like, this is over. Everything is over. You know, I got a Dez Bryant figurine on my desk, and I'm like anti-Witten, anti-Dak, and Dak is a snitch and everything, you know? And, you know, Dak is like, hey, man, even though you know that little interview, I'm going to say this little thing about Dak. You know, that interview, that little shrugging his shoulders and turning all around, boy, ain't nobody stupid.
He's just being a Garrett guy, you know. Garrett guys are Garrett guys, you know. So Dak is in a situation where what was Dak supposed to come out and say? There was no right. There was no win with Dak having that interview.
Yeah, but the funny part was him saying, "I don't make as much money as those guys."
So reading between the lines, Dak is saying, I'm not saying what y'all saying is wrong. I'm just saying I ain't got no parts of that.
I ain't got no parts. He said, look, I'm trying to work on my deal. He got to ball out the next, 2 years?
Yeah,
because, you know, me and him might be making the same amount of money right now. I don't know. All right, well, let's wrap this up, and let's tell people where they can find you on Twitter again.
They can find me on Twitter at PTanner34. Again, my tweets and my thoughts are my tweets and my thoughts.
You heard that. His tweets are his thoughts. And look, I monitor his tweets, so if you go in and say some foolishness to you, I'm coming. don't say no foolishness to him. But yeah, so, you know, we hope to have this podcast up. Hopefully, you know, this is Sunday. LeBron is on TV, and the podcast will be up soon. So you can find me at Chelsea's Right on Twitter. Also, the Gridiron Gals Twitter account is at Gridiron Gals. And you can find us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and CSPN Media. All right, so thank you, PT, for coming, and we'll catch you all later.
No problem. Take care.
Differential.
Hey, them boys are balling. Hey, y'all boys are balling, bro. Hey, let me tell you something. Stay like that. Yeah. Y'all keep them boys like that, man. Keep them like that. They don't know. Hey, they waiting for something to happen. Hey, while they waiting for something to happen, let's keep putting it on their ass, all right?
Dez Bryant's doing a tremendous blocking job tonight. Murray, right tackle, 10-yard line, 5, walk the dog, touchdown Cowboys.
Hey, ooh. Hey, now what I tell you? I said, I'm going to get you one. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Boy, hey, what I tell you? Did I tell you I was going to get you one? I told you that. Come on, look, Debo. Watch this replay.
Dez Bryant is on the corner, just stop blocking and saying, I'll hold him as long as I need to, DeMarco. You just come right up inside of me.
Told you. I'm happy. I ain't gonna lie to you. Demo killed me, bro. Hey, let me tell you something. Demo hit my feelings early in the week, right? Like, seriously. It was like, put Dwayne in there, you know, to block. And I was like, nah, I'm gonna show this mother that I can do it. Hey, let's lock in. Right now, let's end it. Let's end it.
Romo throws back shoulder, and it's going to be Dez Bryant. He's in the end zone for the touchdown, and back is your kill shot. Ah! Yeah.
and Dez Bryant gets his touchdown there. We just took a pretty good team and ran him out of the gym.
Hey, they just got manhunted. Period. Point blank, period.
This was a freaking awesome game.
It was, Coach. Hey, I appreciate it, man. I appreciate it because I know it's more to come.
What we did is what we expected to do. No need to be overexcited. You know, this is a long season. We're going to keep on fighting. We're going to keep on balling. You know, whenever you get the opportunity, you got to take advantage of it. And that's exactly what happened. Put the dagger. Boom.